John. We are in our series called Simply Jesus. And as the adult Bible class is in here learning through John, I'm keeping up with them and preaching through John and enjoying it. And I hope it'll bring conversations, not just in Sunday school, but in your daily life. And I was sharing with Miss Lori and some others here at the church, as professionals, you have multiple tier conversations at your place of business. Tier one is basically, what did you do this weekend? Oh, well, we did this and this. And oh, yeah, what'd you do? Well, we went to church. I had a good time. Preacher threw a fit, slung snot all over the front pew. It was a great time. You should have been there. You know, just that's tier one, just that casual, well, yeah, I went to church, had a good time. You know, tier two is when something comes up at the coffee pot, when they're bringing up something that was on Twitter or somebody said that was of a religious nature. You know, you finished up bad mouthing the Redskins or the Bears or whoever, and you come around to talking about how the boss is a knucklehead. Then you get around to politics and then you get around to religion. And when it comes up, tier two is you just saying, oh, well, you know, I know what you mean. I used to believe that way. But here's what I found. You know, God really blessed me with X. And that's it. That's all you say. Because if they're not ready to have another conversation, you don't want to be preaching. You just want to, oh yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. Lord promised it to me, and his character says he can't lie. So I love the fact that I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And that's it. That's tier two. You don't go any farther than that unless you're invited to tier three. Tier three is, really? You can know? Yeah. Somebody had to show me. If you'd be interested, I can show you at lunch when we actually have time to sit down. That's tier three. Tier four is you're sitting at the table and you're taking your Bible and you're breaking it down. But to get to tier three and tier four, you get invited. Tier one and two is just casual conversation. But it needs to happen. It needs to happen. You see, the first time I ever heard the phrase born again was in the campaign where Jimmy Carter ran for president. And yes, I am that old. Thank you very much. I remember. I was a kid. I wasn't a teenager, but I was a kid. And I remember. I remember the Iran hostage crisis. I remember when Carter ran for president. And the word born again was something I'd never heard before. I hadn't heard it in Sunday school. I hadn't heard it in church. And so I didn't know what it meant. And so since that time till now, that word born again has been bandied about throughout the world, and it means a lot of different things to different people. But the definition of being born again means you're a Christian. To be a Christian, it means you're born again. So to say, I'm a born again Christian, is that a double positive, Miss April? I'm bad at English. It's a double, Jerry, is that a double positive? It's not a double negative, that's for sure. But it's like saying, I'm a tooth dentist. Or, I'm a female woman. Okay, we're a little too close to Washington for that one. Okay, maybe we need to pick a different one. But you know what I'm saying? It's like I'm a soldier. If you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. Isn't that right, Marine? Hoorah. Oh, whatever you guys say. Okay, amen, right? So it's kind of like dumb saying, well, I'm a Marine. It's a double positive. If you're born again, then you are a believer. You are a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you are born again. And if you're not born again, you can say you're a Christian, but you're not actually a Christian because you're not born again. And it's a mess out there. The people you go to work with, the people that live next door to you, have all these ideas of what sounds spiritual, but they don't know what it actually says in the Bible. And that is why we make such a big deal about reading what it says for ourselves. Now, the idea of being born again is kind of funny. I mean, I can tell you, well, first let me tell you what it's not. Well, let's get your Bible, let's read it, and I want to pray because it's important that we go to the Lord and we talk to God first before he talks to us. Why? Because we need to get our heart right. We need to be ready. So before you read your Bible each day, you ought to say a prayer. You ought to say something to the effect of, Lord, I'm listening. Speak to me. I'm ready. So let's pray and then we'll read. Our Father and our God, I love you. And today, God, we ask that you'd forgive us of our sin. God, you would cleanse us from the things we have done that should not have been done. And God, you would forgive us for the things we didn't do that we should have done. And Father, we pray that whatever bitterness or anger or malice or whatever's in our heart right now, unforgiveness that needs to be confessed, we pray, God, right now you'd forgive us. And God, that your spirit would not be hindered to speak through the word we're about to read. God, write it upon our hearts. If there's one here that is not born again, they don't know heaven's their home. They're not sure any of this is real. I ask God, please, you'd break through and speak. And for us, your children, God, that we would be led by your spirit God, that we would be used. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at John chapter 3. I'm going to read the odd numbers, and you're going to read the even numbers, okay? So if you found John chapter 3, then listen, everybody needs a Bible. There's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. Grab one of them hardbound books. Open her up to John 3, New Testament, 4th book, 3rd chapter, 1st verse. Did you find it? Say amen. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. Now, let me tell you what being born again is not. Being born again does not mean baptism. Take your Bible, turn to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus is toward the back of the book. You're in the book of John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, so on and so on. Go to Titus. Sometimes it's just easier, quite honestly, y'all, to find Hebrews and back up a couple of pages, right? So take your Bible, look at Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. And verse number 5. Look at it now with me. If you found it, say amen. Let's read it together, please. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Born again does not mean baptism. Now, there is a very prominent group of Christians who I believe, you know, they're wonderful people. I've met them. I've ministered to them. But they believe that you are not truly saved until you get baptized. That somehow, if you were to accept Christ as your Savior, trip and break your neck between here and the baptistry, you wouldn't have it fully done yet. And that's unfortunate because that's not what the Bible teaches. Because Jesus promised the thief on the cross he'd be in paradise, didn't he? He just called upon him as Lord. He didn't get time to get baptized. The truth is, my friends, baptism is the work of righteousness, something we do. So whenever I find a word I don't understand, I try to put a parenthesis around it and slip in the definition. So in Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his, parentheses, not giving me what I actually deserve, close parentheses, he saved us. By the washing and regeneration and renewing of the baptismal waters. No, the washing and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's why this gets to be a little complicated for folks, because in Revelation 1:5, the Bible actually says that we have been washed in the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, Hebrews said. But in Revelation, the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1 and verse number 5, listen to what it says. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Being born again is not about baptism. Number 2, it's not about reformation. It's not about turning over a new leaf. I don't know how many times Miss Mixon and I would talk and I'd say, honey, I'm sorry. I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Truth is, you can turn over a whole new tree and you're not going to heaven. Because it's not about reformation. Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus, is the elite of the Israelis. He is the teacher of the law. He has lived a sinless life by their own standards. And Jesus said, still, you must be born again. Philippians 3, Paul talks about his pedigree, how that he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, living the law like a Pharisee. He said, but I count it all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Nothing in my past, my pedigree, any of that matters except Christ. Number 3, born again is not a religious experience. In Matthew 13, we have the parable of the sower. In verse 3 through 5, it talks about the stony ground. the stony ground in verse number 5. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. When you jump down to verse 20, he explains it and he says, but he that receiveth seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. We refer to these as popcorn Christians. Anybody love popcorn? We love kettle corn. Mrs. Mix and I have been having a hankering for kettle corn. Shoppers is out, y'all, unless the truck comes today, because we killed it all yesterday. And we love kettle corn. But popcorn's fun to watch. I predate the air popper. Anybody else in here predate the air popper? Mama would get, you know, Brother Sean, Mom get that big skillet and put the oil in it, and she'd shake it. And invariably, whenever she'd stop hearing pop, she'd pull the lid off and want to go poo right off the top and hit the ceiling. Christians can be like that. People can be like that. They come to church, they get all excited, woohoo, praise the Lord, and then they settle down to doing nothing, because it really never really took root. It just was an emotional experience. Now, I love emotions. I do. They make life worth living. They really do. They're excited. I love emotion. Can you imagine if we were all Vulcans? Huh? How boring life would be. Wouldn't it be cool if you were the only one with emotions on Vulcan? Nobody would understand. Nobody would get you. We love emotions. God is an emotional being. He made us that way. But the truth is, when you look at the salvation experience of the Ethiopian eunuch, which we looked at a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 8, he first heard the word of God. Philip, who got to Isaiah 53 and preached Jesus as the lamb slain. And then that fact took root in that man's heart. And then by faith, he said, how about I get baptized? And he says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the Ethiopian eunuch then answers in faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You've got faith, or fact, coupled with faith. And then in Acts 8, in verse 39, it says he went on rejoicing. The feelings come later. Now, as we get into it, we need to look at what being born again is. Because the people you work with need a solid answer and an explanation, because a lot of them think it's baptism or turning over a new leaf or getting religion or joining a church or having an experience. And the crazy thing is, I'll meet Christians who I believe are born again, but because they didn't have some big emotional experience, they are, I guess I'm not really truly God at all. You know, it's not about our feelings. The Bible says in Jeremiah that our heart is deceitful. That means it deceives us, and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't live our life like a country western song and follow our heart. We just don't do that. It's based on the Word of God. So let's look at John 3 as we get into the message today. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man was educated. He was wealthy. He was politically connected. He was part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the council of 71 elders who basically took the place as the Supreme Court of Israel. He sat on the Supreme Court. He was the one who knew the law. He taught the law. He was the one who gave rulings on the law as people would come and get answers. He sat on that high court. Now listen, you didn't get to be any kind of a Pharisee or priest or Levite until you were 30. This is a tenured man. He's got to be at least in his late 50s or 60s, somewhere in there. He's got to be a man of some age and some experience. So proving, listen, this guy, he does eventually become a believer in Christ. Not all of Christ's followers were uneducated men. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke was a disciple of Christ. He wasn't an apostle, but he was a Christian and he was a doctor. But Nicodemus was a wealthy, educated, well-connected man. And then verse 2 says, the same came to Jesus by night. And I'll be honest with you, my brothers and sisters, when you read the study notes in your Bible, those aren't inspired. And neither are the commentators, and I read them all. And so I got four reasons why he came to Jesus by night given to me this week in my study. Number one, it was an act of discretion. He figured, well, Jesus wouldn't be busy. Nah, I don't think that's it. Number two, another guy said, well, Nicodemus was a busy man. Nah, he had a pretty open schedule. He could do what he wanted. He was afraid or ashamed that he was the card-carrying member, a founding member of the Society of Closet Christians. He believed Jesus, but he just didn't want to be seen. Kind of like riding a moped. You ever ride a moped? They're fun when nobody's watching. Otherwise, I look like Huey the Duck on a tricycle, you know? And they just don't make a Harley big enough for me to look like I proportionally fit on one, you know? So maybe the F-150 Harley Davidson, then I'll look proportional. But the thing is he maybe didn't want to come to Jesus during the day because, you know, the rest of the folks weren't followers. And it can be very, very financially detrimental to your life in some cases to come out as a Christian. Doesn't mean you shouldn't. Just means it's the reality. There are scientists who don't get grants for research because they don't buy into the lie of evolution. Then rubber meets the road then. Life gets real then. Nicodemus. I think number four is more likely. Number four, he just couldn't wait any longer. He knew the law backwards and forwards. He had most of the Old Testament memorized. The first five books of the Bible were probably memorized. And he sees Jesus doing miracles. And that is the pretense he gives Jesus for his visit. But I think instead of counting sheep, because he couldn't sleep, he decided to go talk to the shepherd. That's what I think happened. Because I remember the night I was given the gospel by the man who would be my pastor. In my little honeymoon apartment with my wife, he gave me the gospel and I turned him down. Later that evening, I'm pacing the floor of that little apartment. And I couldn't wait for Sunday. It was a Thursday night. I couldn't wait for Sunday. I called him. Had he not answered, I might have gotten the car and drove the 23 miles to get to his house. But he answered the phone. And he read me those verses. And I gave my life to Jesus. I just think Nicodemus just couldn't wait any longer. He couldn't sleep. He had to come to Christ. But no matter what the reason, at least he came. Look at the pretense he gives Jesus. He says, and he said unto him, Rabbi, that means teacher, master. He wasn't coming for political gain. He says, master. We know. Okay, stop right there. We. That means he and some other people have been having conversations around the coffee pot at work. You know, people are people wherever they are. People are people whenever they are. And the truth is, just like you have conversations about current events, so did they. We know. Me and the people I've been talking to, we can't square what the Pharisees teach with what you teach. We can't wrap our head around it. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. In John chapter 12 and verse 41 and 42, you know he's been having conversations. Jesus was not educated. Jesus was not an ordained man. He did not have the stamp of approval of the Pharisees. I've got secular degrees and I've got my ministry degrees. I got my license. I got my ordination. I even got my master's degree. But I was thinking about once I finish my doctorate, then Brother Jerry, you know what I'm talking about. That's when you get one of them big boards, those I Love Me boards, and you put all that stuff in it. You know what I mean? And it'll look cool on my wall. Like you know, I'm a minute smarter now that I have it on the wall. But the truth is, Jesus didn't have any of those credentials. He wasn't carrying a knapsack around with his ordination certificate in it. But this man who was divine, he was with the stamp of approval of his peers, came to him and said, we know you're doing miracles. No man can do these things except God be with him. And in John chapter 5 and verse 36, Jesus didn't have a piece of paper, but his miracles were his credentials. In John chapter 5 and verse 31, Jesus starts to give a list of credentials. Number one, that he himself witnessed and told them, I am the Messiah. The second one in verse 32 or 33, it's John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and he told you I was the one. But you didn't listen. But when you get down to John 5 and verse 35, I think verse 36, he says, the miracles, they speak of who I am. The miracles of Christ were his credentials. And John, or Nicodemus come to Jesus by night on this pretense. Teacher, I want to know more about miracles. But in verse 3, Jesus actually understands the longing in Nicodemus' heart and turns it around on him. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Master, I want to know more about miracles. And Jesus says, first, you need to be a miracle. You need to be a miracle. You need to be born again. This is actually the longing in the heart of Nicodemus. Because in Hebrews 9, 10, 11, and 12, as you read through those chapters, you realize that the sacrifices of animals and those offerings and the rituals could never satisfy the holiness of God. When someone says, I'm a believer, but I'm not born again, you don't understand just how sinful you are in the face of how holy God is. Because once you realize just how sinful we are, and then we realize just how holy God is, that's all it takes, really, to understand and be saved. Because when I realized how sinful I was, and I could not earn my way to heaven, I repented, I turned from that, and I turned from my sin, and I turned to a holy God who forgives, and ask him to save me. To say, I don't need to be born again to be a Christian, you do not understand. You do not understand. But he came to Christ. Look what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. That means accept. That means it's a necessity. Nobody gets to heaven without it. Nobody is born again without it. Listen, you've got to be born again. There's no other way. There's no ladder. Listen, Nimrod tried to build a tower so he could walk up there. There is nothing big enough for you. Look at it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not enough to admire the miracles. You have to acknowledge him as God and yourself as a sinner and turn and repent. So the word new birth means to be born from above. Now, we know from Nicodemus's response, Jesus is using a picture here. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, to be born, listen, you got to have two parents. You got to have a mom and a dad. Both of them provide. Listen, birth is the impartation of life. My father, I have the life of my father, Robert F. Mix, and the life of my mother, Valda Pauline Mix. The two have come together. My father provided the seed. My mother provided the egg and the womb. And the two of them imparted life to me. And at the moment of conception, I was me. I was me at the moment of conception. And the truth is, to be born again, the new birth is the imparting of life from our Heavenly Father. It's the impartation of life. We find this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That's Old English. That means made alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, it talks about how that God begot us. We are born a second time from above. So where's the seed? That's the word of God, James 1:18 tells us. James 1:18 says, if you're taking notes, James chapter 1 and verse number 18, listen to what the Bible says. It says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And you see this also, so the seed is the word of God, the womb is the human heart, the conception is the Holy Spirit. As I read to you earlier, we are begotten through the Spirit. But he says, except a man be born again, this is the absolute necessity. Wait a minute, how can I, who am old, be born again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Now, this is cool. I remember when we were having babies, we started buying baby books. Anybody else ever buy baby books, huh? What to expect while you're expecting, right? Isn't that awesome? Or the first 9 months, or on becoming baby wise. Now, you need to write that down. That book's about 25, 30 years old, but it is a life-changing book. I don't know. I'm telling you. Is it a life-changing book? On becoming baby wise. Y'all need to read that. Change our life. We were raising a kid. The first kid, we were raising a kid we didn't like. Until we read that book, and then we loved having kids. Kids are wonderful. Listen, you know those will change your life. Do you realize in all of our, well, I didn't really read them, my wife read them, but, right? She just gave me the cliff notes, and I just followed along. But the truth is, the whole time, I never found a single book that you could download off Kindle into like earphones so the fetus would know how to be born. Not one. Now, you'd think that'd be an emerging market. No pun intended. An emerging market, right? But no. That's because babies don't do anything. Mamas do all the work. Isn't that right, Mama? Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, you got your hand up, Daniel. You doing the work back there? Put your hand down. Okay. No, the truth is, you do all the birthing. Right? So to be born again, this is a sovereign act of God. God does the saving. God does the birthing. And this is like hard for Nicodemus to wrap his noodle around. Look at verse 4 again. In John chapter number 3 and verse 4, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there's three knuckleheads out there, three guys who have three different opinions on what is meant by water, okay? One guy says, it's water baptism, and I've already told you that ain't how it works, okay? That is not how it works. Number two, there's a very popular group of guys, including people that I respect, who say, well, that's the word of God. And it's true, the seed of the word of God. But we are not washed by the water. We are washed in the blood. Your greatest tool for understanding the Bible is just English grammar. Just English grammar. I'm not saying the word had nothing to do with it. I'm not saying that. But he's following the same metaphor that Nicodemus is saying. So to me, it really jumps out at me. Yeah. You know, it's physical birth. Yeah, it's you're born of the water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh. Here we go again. Same metaphor. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit, look at it. But that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said it. Now wait, this is the beautiful thing about the Bible. Look at verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee. Okay, we've been having a tier 3 conversation. That's what he said. I'm having a tier 3 conversation. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm going to bring it up a level, is what Jesus says. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That's tier 4. He just brought the conversation to a very personal level. Now remember, we're talking about this guy. He's on the Council of 71. He's of the Sanhedrin. He is a lawyer. He is a judge. He is like on the Supreme Court. And he says, you. This is no longer metaphorical, son. This is you I'm talking to. Ye must be born again. Verse number 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst hear the sound thereof, but thou canst tell when it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, by the way, there's no books on the shelf to tell you how to get more wind in your backyard. There's no controlling it. The Spirit of God does a work that is unseen. When you're witnessing to somebody and they say, I only believe in things I can see. Well, then what are you breathing? Well, I don't believe in it. You don't believe in air? You know, right? You can't see it. You only feel the effects of it. The Holy Spirit is going to do the work. This is where Nicodemus is having a hard time wrapping his head around. He has spent his entire life being trained and teaching others to do something. To do. To achieve. And Jesus is saying, hasn't got a thing to do with what you do. It's what the Holy Spirit does. Look at it again. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hear the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. As I've often said, you know, it's great. You need to, do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when you were born again? But the truth is, you don't have to remember the date or the hour. Because salvation is not just a crisis moment that you base your faith on. It is an ever-present witness now that you are saved. You are believing now on the Lord Jesus Christ. The ever-present now of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're saved. You cannot lose it. He takes up residence inside you. And now you, like the wind, you are guided by a spirit that you're not aware, that the people around you cannot understand. I got a call yesterday from, or this week from a man that I met him yesterday for coffee, and we chatted, and we were talking about his salvation testimony and his baptism, and he said, you know, I have just felt this need to be reading God's word, and now I need to get into God's house, and I need to get back to where I'm walking with God again. That didn't come from the world. That wasn't on a billboard somewhere. Did you get an email message like this in your inbox this week that said, hey, you need to get back with God? No, that's the Spirit of God moving in the heart of a believer, longing for the Father. My brothers and sisters, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You're born again. It's not just the day you trust it. It's the ever-present now of the witness of the Holy Spirit yearning in your heart to know God more, to walk with Him. Do you have that? The Bible says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And at the moment a person is born again, he not only receives eternal life, he also receives a new nature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, and all that are in Christ are a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You also see this in John 15:3 and in other places we'll look at in just a second. But look at verse number 9. And Nicodemus answered and said unto them, how can these things be? How do I square this? The fact that salvation is not something you do, it is something God does to you because of what God did for you on the cross of Calvary. It's what God does to you. God does the saving. When you're trying to explain this at work, it is vital that people understand how sinful they are, how holy God is, and how wonderful the forgiveness is. But until they know how sinful they are and how holy God is, it don't matter. All they do is try Jesus on like a suit, and it's not real. Because not only are you imparted, is it a work of God, it is also the impartation of a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible reads, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, before Nicodemus could be born again to see the miracle of God, he had to become the miracle. And I got to tell you, the greatest witness to the people you live with and you work with is not going to be something you say, although that's helpful. What's really going to spark their interest, what's really going to get them thinking, is a change in you. If you let the new nature that God imparted to you when you were born again live through you, if the life of Jesus would live through you, they'll see it. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It will be proved out through you if you'll let the Holy Spirit of God move you. Now, the truth is, just like the wind, your friends are not going to understand. I mean, they drive by this church, they see the parking lot full, and they think, what a waste of time. You got your Bible on your desk, and it's your break, and you're reading your Bible, or you're doing something, and they think to themselves, yeah, that don't make sense. But when they see the miracle in you, they're going to have the same question Nicodemus is. No man can do these things except God be with him. You got something I need. You got something I want. And they won't walk up and say that. Bless God, Michael, you got something I want. No, what they're going to do is they're going to go, so what'd you do this weekend? Oh, well, the normal. In Arkansas, we called it rat killing. Anybody else call it rat killing? You go to the store, you go to the bank, you do your stuff, you wash your car. It's errands. We call it rat killing. Now you know what I mean when I say that. But then you say, I did my rat killing on Saturday. On Sunday, went to church, man. Had a blast. We sang. It was great to see my friends. Just kind of shake your head and go. Because they know what you're asking. You don't have to preach it. They get it. By the way, this is preach it in sign language. So if you're excited in the back, just go. Preach it. You don't have to preach it on the job. I went to church, had a wonderful time. We're excited about Wednesday. You got the chicken wing cook-off, man. I'm bringing my A game. I know it sounds tier one, but they don't understand. And all those that are led by the Spirit of God, they're not going to see the unseen influence of the Holy Spirit. They're just going to see Him living through you as they experience you. Nicodemus came to Jesus because, not on the pretense of the miracle, but Jesus immediately knew in his heart what his longing was. You got to be born again, Nicodemus. What do you mean? I've lived a Pharisee. I live the law blamelessly. I've got 70 other people watching me, ready to point out my mistakes. And I do it blamelessly. Now you're telling me it's a work that God does? Yes. He imparts unto you eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life, nor shall he see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him, John 3:36. You also get a new family. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Look at that. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want to talk to you about something. Look at verse 12. You want to know how explain people get saved? That's how I explain it to them. The womb is the human heart. The seed is the word of God. Conception is the work of the Spirit of God. So in chapter 1, in verse 12, it says, but as many as received him. He's not going to force himself on you or the person you're witnessing. If you're not saved, God's not going to force himself on you. And the person you're witnessing to, God is not going to kick the door in. But he has to want it. But as many as received him, that's our part, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's God's part. God does that. Even to them which believe, that believe on his name, that's our part. Which were born, that's God's part, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, that's our part, but of God. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? What is it you're trusting in? When did it happen? Where were you? Do you have the witness of the Holy Spirit today? Christians, you know, this Nicodemus couldn't square it the first time he heard it. This is the first time he's really had an in-depth conversation, a tier four conversation, and he didn't get it. In John chapter 3, listen to what it says. And Jesus answered, art thou a master? And Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee that we speak that which we know and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And look, dude, this was your metaphor. I was using your metaphor. Ezekiel talked about being born of God. Ezekiel talked about bringing life to that which was dead in the valley of dry bones. And then he says, look, this is your analogy, dude. I'm speaking your language. How is it you don't get this? What if I were to open the windows of heaven and show you for real? Your head would explode. That's what he's saying. I tell you, you don't get it. Well, later in John 7, when they're getting ready to find a way to arrest Jesus, Nicodemus on the high court speaks up and says, hey, do we try a man? Or do we cast, do we pronounce a verdict on a man we haven't tried? And his peers mocked him. They mocked him. What, are you from Galilee? You from Nazareth too? They mocked him. And in John 19, Nicodemus steps up. And he and Joseph of Arimathea take the body of Christ to burial. Nicodemus shows up with 75 pounds of linens and ointments. See, the more you use, the more honor it shows. This old man carried a 75-pound pack of ointment and spikenard and others, and they would put it on the body and then wrap it and then put it on the wrappings and wrap it again, and it would cover up the smell of rotting flesh. And they would wrap him 4 and 5 layers thick with all this stuff. History tells us that Nicodemus, because of his following of Jesus, lost his position on the court. He lost his wealth, his political connection, and was banished from Jerusalem. His wife and children lived the rest of their life in abject poverty, died really basically of malnutrition and starvation because no one would help them. And tradition tells us that Nicodemus was beaten to death by a mob while serving alongside the apostles in Antioch or somewhere north of Israel. He lost it all for Christ. But Jim Elliot, the famous missionary from Central America, said, "A man is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he can never lose." And today, the Lord Jesus Christ offers you new life if you've yet to be saved. And just like Nicodemus, somebody needed somebody to explain it to him. Christian, your neighbor needs somebody to explain it to him. Yea, somebody who will be the miracle in front of them. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. For they cannot see it. They can only experience it through you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you have the ever-present witness of the Holy Spirit today? You say you're saved, you're born again. It means the same thing. Like saying Christian, Christian. Born again means Christian. Christian means born again. But Paul said in Romans 11 that the true witness of whether or not you're saved is whether or not you're ashamed of Christ publicly. Do you talk about him? Do you bring him up? Do you share him with others? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. In the next few moments, I ask that you would speak to every heart and every soul. Father, you would stir in us as Christians, as believers, as born-again people, the burden for those around us who don't know you. That you would burden us with a desire to share Christ, to be the miracle that our folk, our peers need to see, that we would be led by your Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, we ask for your leading, for your prompting, for your rebuke, and for your correction. Let us be the miracle. And Father, for those who don't know you, for those who've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I ask God, please, you would burden them over their sin. Stir them to come and to confess Christ as their Savior, to receive him by repentance and receiving him by faith. God, please, do the work that only you can do. Oh, Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As she sings and plays, the altar's open, my friends. Let's do business with God.
Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Are you saved? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Have you repented of your sin? Have you received him? Did you call upon him? Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
And my shame is undone.
You're born again, you know it. The first act of obedience is to identify with Christ publicly in baptism. Saved? Do you need to be baptized? Won't you present yourself to the church?
Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts.
Is there someone that you care about that's burdening you about their soul?
By your presence,
are you stirred for them?
Presence.
As we tarry for these, there's still time for you. Does it matter to you? Does it burden you that you get to hear about Jesus every single week? And some in our area have never heard of him once. There are children in your neighborhood who don't even know what a Bible is. They don't know that Jesus died for them. No one has told them. Our Father and our God, we love you. Thankful for the opportunity to have a place to worship. But Father, knowing that we can worship you in our daily time and through our daily Bible reading, God, we pray that you would stir us, correct us, grow us, change us, move us to do the things you would have us to do. And Father, by faith, we respond and say, yes, sir. Now, Father, let us encourage one another today before we leave. And Father, through this, we pray, God, that each would be encouraged and exhorted. We love you. Thank you, God, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, man. Look this way.